for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, July the 7th, 2019, Deborah Vales is the speaker of the service teaching on the fire of God.
You know, there's something beautiful about being free enough to see other people's hurts and wounds and not condemn them, but raise them up.
That's right.
To Jesus.
Amen.
So as you're driving down the road, listen, even ambulance. You see an ambulance go by? What if that was yours? Somebody belonged to you. You would want somebody to pray. Huh? So why don't we pray for the ambulance? Do you know that we need policemen? Maybe some of you still need to forgive some of them. Okay? But we need them. You know why we need police? Because men won't behave. If everybody did the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't need any police or any military. But people won't behave, so we have to have policemen, and the Bible calls them the sword of the law. And when I see a policeman got somebody on the side of the road, I'm praying for justice and mercy.
Yes.
And justice and mercy, because some people need to go to jail. Some people need to go to jail to get saved. And even, listen, they need to go because some people are dangerous to other people. If they're not put in jail, then they're dangerous to other people. They need to be in jail, but we want to go to jail, but we want to get saved in jail. But we don't want police abusing people either. Right? We want those police hearing from God. There are some people need to be let go. They need mercy at a given moment. They do need to be let go. Maybe just the getting them pulled over was enough to say, hey, I mean, something's wrong here. And they start looking up to God. But if we pray, we bring the kingdom into it. You see people hurting at the Walmart. Pray for them. Pray you get bold enough to go pray for them directly.
That's right. Amen.
Without worrying about what anybody might think. That's if right. You offered to pray. All they can do is turn you down.
That's right.
Well, if they turn you down, they're not turning you down. They're turning the Lord down.
Just start doing it. Say, I want to pray for you.
Just start doing it. Well, you need people's permission. See, we don't. Listen, I can't force you to receive anything. I can't force you to receive anything. And Jesus don't force anybody to do anything. He's always got a him. So, you know, when she's talking about being bold, you just ask, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? Most people say, yeah, go ahead. The ones that don't, if they run off, say, no, I don't need any prayer. Well, you know how much prayer they need. So give them some as you're going about your business. Say, Lord, help me to share this freedom that you've given me. You said to freely give what's been freely given. So show me my heart, Lord. I'm asking. In Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for the giver. We thank you for all that we're able to give. We thank you, Father, that you supply seed to the sower. But, Lord, the seed being the Word of God, seed is also even of our wealth. And I thank you for those that are able to give. And, Lord, for the ones that aren't, I just ask you to pour out to them, Lord, that they're able to share and make a difference. Lord, you got to be blessed to be a blessing, and it takes money to operate in this world. So we just thank you, Lord, that you multiply this, you multiply it to the back to the giver, Lord, and you multiply this for your kingdom work. We love you, and we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done and all you're going to do in Jesus' name. Father, I lift up my sister Deborah. I thank you. She comes. She's going to minister the Word of God. And I know that I know that I know that we're going to be blessed. And I pray that everybody's mind is alert and ready to receive from the Word of God. They're ready to receive her as an oracle of the living God. She will speak forth the Word. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that even now our lives will change some more as we get molded into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you all glory. Thank you, Lord. The enemy's bound. Let God arise and the enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord today?
Yes.
Amen. Let's give Him a hand. Thank God for everything that He
which he has done and that he is doing and will continue to do. God is so great. Praise the Lord. I'm going to just share a little bit this morning with you about the fire of God.
Amen. Yes.
We need the fire of the Lord in our life.
Yes.
That will keep you.
Yes.
You know, on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They received Him in fullness, the fire of God. They received boldness. They received that push to share Jesus. And how many of you know that that same push God has given us? And He wants us to share Jesus. I think that's what Brother was just saying, that we're to be light everywhere we go. We should always be ready to share Jesus with somebody, because you never know, that may be their last chance of hearing about the Lord. So, you know, the fire of God helps us. And when we apply, one of the things I want to encourage you to do, as you've heard the word of the Lord this weekend, and the Lord has done a lot in us, and every time we come, we receive from the Lord, but we must apply it. It doesn't do you any good if you go home and you don't apply what you've learned and allow the Lord to activate that and walk in it. So I pray that the deliverance and healing that you have received this weekend, that you don't let it slip. Don't let it slip away. Allow the Lord to multiply that He's given to you and maintain it. So I'm going to talk about releasing the fire of God. Now, I began to do a study on the word fire, and I'm not done with it, because it's a lot that the Bible says about fire. In the Old Testament, it was very important on the altar. And if the priest, for example, went into the very Holy of Holies the wrong way, they didn't come out. Right? The high priest back in that day. So if the high priest went in there with sin, he didn't come out. They had to drag him out.
Yeah.
How many of you know it's the same today, just in a different way?
Yeah.
Y'all can talk to me. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It is really okay. God don't like sin. He doesn't like sin in our lives. And I think when we come to camp, it's because we have issues and different things that we need help with. And if we're honest about that, repenting, God will deal with us. And He will cleanse us. But then He wants to fill that area with Him. We need more of Him, right? The more of the light of God in our lives every day. So the more of God that we have, the less territory the enemy has in us. Because that's what he looks for. If he thinks that he can lay claim to, say, fear, say if I'm dealing with fear, something in me and it's fear there, then the enemy will say, well, I can go get her because she's got fear. But if I close that door, I say, no, God didn't give me the spirit of fear, but He's given me power, love, and a sound mind. At that point,
yeah.
At that point, He stops,
yeah.
Because He's a trespasser. And I won't allow Him,
yeah,
in. You do know you can take authority.
Yes.
You do know that you have authority because God's given it to us. But if we don't use it, that's when we can be debilitated. You understand? So the Lord just wants us to, I believe, allow Him to move in us, but we have to play an active part. So I'm going to just share 7 points about the fire with you today. Fire is necessary. The fire of God I'm talking about in our lives. Number one, in Genesis 19 and 14, now we see where God had to judge and He had to purify because of sin. And it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened in there, God rained down fire and brimstone on that area because He didn't like what was going on. All right, so He sent His angels in there, said, let me go see what's going on. I don't like what I'm hearing. And Abraham was in another portion. Lot was down there where he didn't need to be. And Abraham knew it. And God just revealed to him what was about to happen. And so Abraham became an intercessor. And he said, look, I know of God that there's some stuff going on over there. But if you find 50 righteous people, will you spare the area? God said, okay, if there's 50, I won't destroy. But Abraham didn't stop there. He said, wait a minute, can I ask you a question? What about 45? He said, okay, 45. And we know the story if you go and read in Genesis 19. He said, well, what about 40? Now, every time I read this, Carla, I think, you know what? I think Abraham knew really what was going on, but he was trying to say, God, please help. How many of you know we need that kind of prayer today? We need someone that will intercede. And I believe even when we come to camp, you know what? We come up here, we pray because we're interceding. We want you to get delivered. We need to be delivered and healed. It takes someone that's willing to pray. And so, got all the way down to 10. Because it wasn't even 10. Look at our world today. And we look at the different things that's going on, like the volcanoes and earthquakes. Two earthquakes took place, was it yesterday, day before, in California. And I asked the Lord about it. I said, Lord, what's going on out there? He said, I'm doing a shaking.
Yep.
And I'm trying to alert the people to pray. And so when these things happen, I do believe that they're wake-up calls.
Yes, it is.
It's wake-up calls for us to pray.
Yes.
Because we don't want to see the devastation, the flooding, all the different things that's taking place. I really believe that it's warnings for us as believers to get in a place to pray, to avert, because some things can be averted if we pray. And we know what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. But the fire there brought purification, because even today, there's no life in that area. Where Sodom was, Gomorrah, there is no life there. And sometimes God has to so judge to where it's a wake-up call and a reminder of how sin really brings devastation in our lives. Look at what we're facing today. Look at the laws and all the things that we as a people of God have to deal with. Now that same spirit is in our world today. The spirit of Sodom, the spirit of homosexuality, lesbianism, all these things that they don't want us to talk about. And it's not because we don't love people. We do. It's the sin that's going to get us in trouble. It's the sin that God has to come after and judge. So we must understand that when God sends judgment, it's because he doesn't like what's going on. Right. Number two, fire is needed or was needed in Genesis 22, 6 through 8 for sacrifice. And I'm going to go read that. Now, we look at Abraham again. Abraham was given a son by the name of Isaac. And Isaac told him, I want you to go up and sacrifice. I want you to take your son. I want you to lay him on the altar. So Genesis 22, verse 6, it says, Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering. He laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. The story goes on. He literally put his son on the altar and he was going to sacrifice his son. And God saw that he would not withhold anything from him. And he, at the last minute, said, don't do it. I know that your heart belongs to me. And how many of you know the Bible says there was a ram in the bush? And that ram became the sacrifice. How many of you are willing to lay down that thing that God wants you to put on the altar of sacrifice? There may be something that God has been talking to you about. Give it to me. That's what the Lord is saying here today. Give it to me. Let me burn that thing up on the altar so that I can bring freedom in your life. Number three, God is in the fire, according to Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Now, in that scripture, it talks about, I believe, the Hebrew boys, and they were thrown in the fire because they wouldn't bow. They would not bow down to a false god. And there are a lot of false gods in the earth today. And we have to be careful that who we're serving is the living God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to bow down to any other god but God. Amen. Because Jesus died so that we can have a right to the tree of life. And God is very clear when he says you should have no other gods before me. So he doesn't like idols. And Brother Randy taught about idols the other night. So make sure there are no idols in your life. These young men, they would not bow. They would not. They said, well, if we die, we die. But we will not bow down to the false god. And they went into the fire. But how many of you know that fire wasn't it was not a destroying fire for them. It was a fire that kept them. It was a fire that purified them, I believe. And I believe it was a fire that showed, who was it, Nebuchadnezzar, that God is God. You all threw them boys in there. But there was someone else in the fire. And I believe it was the Son of God. Jesus was right there with them. And sometimes we may go through things and feel like we're in a fire. But that fire may be up just enough to burn out everything that you need out of your life and burn in God. I believe that those young men were a testimony that we are going to serve the Lord. They were not old, they were young men, but they were men that loved God and they would not bow down to a false god. And so we have to have the same determination that no, I may go through the fire, but I'm going to come out. That's Daniel 3, 24, 25. Then we know that there is fire that will destroy, according to Exodus 9, 23 and 24. I'm going to go there to that one. Exodus chapter 9, verse 23. And we know that these deals with the plagues. You know, Israel was in a time where they needed to be let go. Pharaoh didn't want to let them go. But in Exodus 9, 23, it says, Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail. And fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. So God protected his people from that particular plague, but the Egyptians suffered and they lost their crops, they lost animals if they were in the field. And oftentimes we see things like this happen today and we wonder why, for example, if there's flooding, one house floods, another one doesn't. One house is caught on fire, another one doesn't, because God does spare. And I think Merle went through that this year when the fires came, and he testified how in the perimeter of his property, the fire only came so far. And his property was spared. And I believe that, you know, God will protect us. Yes. He doesn't want us to perish in these things. And this is why I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer and the importance of us praying. Amen. Praying over our property. Yes. Praying over the things that God has given us. And God will protect you when it looks like you're going to get flooded out. But when you pray, God hears. He hears us when we pray. Very, very important that we pray. Okay? The fire of God gives light, according to Exodus 13, 21 and 22. And this is what it says. Exodus 13, 21, it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So God protected them. There was a protection even when they had to cross the Red Sea. We know that God, he divided Pharaoh from the people. He didn't let Pharaoh get to the people because the fire that was behind them was a protection. It was a wall. And you know what? Even when the enemy attempts to come at you, God will protect you. Even when witches, warlocks, and all these things try to come at you, when you stay under the blood of Jesus and you stay in his protective hand, God will watch over you. He will protect you. All right? And I'm thanking God for that. This is why we got to stay. Got to stay free of sin. Stay free. Stay out of offense. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in the love of God, because I know God will protect you. He'll watch over you. He's faithful. Okay. Now, in Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, it talks about fire being on the altar that never goes out. And what the Lord, let me just go to my note here, because I want to talk about this. It really talks about prayer. So in Leviticus 6 and 12, let me read that. Leviticus chapter 6, verse number 12. It says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Now, one of the things the Lord spoke to me about this, he said we must keep our lives stoked in prayer. This means the more wood you place in the fire, the more it will burn. The more you let God in, the more he will come in. So it's important that we have a prayer life in order to continue to have the fire of God burning in us. We must pray. I want to give you some principles of prayer. Where they at here. Hallelujah. Number one, we must be persistent with God. Persistence brings victory. It is a personal fight or struggle, like Joseph wrestled with God because Jacob wrestled with God because he wanted a blessing. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Now, there are times when I pray, I said, Lord, I just want you to visit with me. I'm going to stay right here because I want more of you. And when you know what, every time I get determined like that, Pastor Walker, God blesses. It's where you get off with God and you say, I just want God today. I just want to spend time in his presence. You know, it's very easy when we get in trouble or we feel that we need prayer to call and reach out for someone to pray with us. And that's fine. It's okay to do that. But how many of you know that there's nothing like spending time with God yourself?
Amen.
Because you get to know him in a way that maybe you've not known him before. Spending time in God's presence every day is very important. Okay? So we must be persistent. Persistence involves travailing in order to bring forth. Persistence is a forward motion. In order to see victory, we must be determined to persist through opposition, resistance, and hindrance. And oftentimes, we face hindrances when we're working for God. When you begin to do the work of God, sometimes hindrances will come. Sometimes opposition will come. Pressure will come. Something will happen that will try to get you off focus. And when that happens, you have to recognize when it's the enemy and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to be deterred from that God has called me to do. So we must be persistent. Number two, we must pray without ceasing. This means pray on every occasion. Just like Brother just said about, you know, praying, you know, for ambulances, and we do that a lot. When I hear ambulance, when I hear fire trucks, things of that nature, because I don't know what's going on, I'll stop and I'll say, Lord, touch them. Father, you know what's going on. Pray. Just get in a habit of praying. And you know, when we can learn to pray for others more than I fail sometimes, guess what happens? God will take care of you.
Amen.
You're not going to lack. Okay? So be persistent to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We must remember the prayer of confession. Through confession, we cleanse our soul and body of sin. So we also need a heart to confess. Because when you confess your faults one to another, for example, the Bible says, you will be healed. All right? Confess means to come clean with the intent to repent for cleansing, healing, and deliverance. So confession is one thing, but you must also have a heart to repent. Psalm 51:1 says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. So we need the Lord to cleanse us of everything that's not like Him. And I pray that every day. Every day I ask God, Lord, if there's anything in my life that you're not pleased with, take it out. I need you more. You know, I'm learning, and a dear pastor says this all the time, that we must pray more than anything else. You know, our ministries are important, but it's not more than prayer. If I don't speak, if I don't sing, I must pray. I must stay before God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we need the Lord to cleanse us of everything that's not like Him. When we confess our sins, it causes us to open up to God. Trust is born and friendship is established. I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer this. But is God your friend? Do you know Him like that? We can. Hallelujah. Then there's a prayer of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving reveals a deep appreciation of God. And you know, when the Lord ministers to us, you know, after that refreshing, it comes like a thank you, Lord. I think we sing that sometime. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. You've been so good. I can't remember the words anyway, but He has been good, right? Yeah. So thank Him. When you begin to thank God just because of who He is, not necessarily for what He does for you or what He can give you, just for being God. I have an appreciation for God. Psalm 107:1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. And we know that God's mercy is favor that we may not deserve, but He extends it to us because He loves us. It's also mercy that will endure or last for all time. Thank God for His mercy. You know, I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready. And we've heard a lot, Jerry has mentioned a lot about worshiping and mentioned Benny Hinn. And I was thinking about that again today. And the Lord said, Deb, what I really want for my people is them to get used to just coming and dwelling in my presence. I wish I could get this over to you, the importance of how God will strengthen you and how even between camps or when you go back, if you come back, if you don't come back, my prayer is that your relationship with the Lord will intensify. Get to know the Lord. Get to know Him because He will help you better than anybody else. The Lord will help you. If you're not reading your Bible every day, repent of that. Start reading your Bible. The Lord wants to minister to you every day. He wants to talk to you every day. He has something to say. Whether it's from His Word, whether it's through a song, the Spirit of God wants to help us. But we must position ourselves for Him to do that. Worship involves a deep reverence for God, with the intent to bow before Him in praise, worship, and adoration. God's glory will come in, and we will learn the value of true worship as we spend time in His presence. So we must be willing to become living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says this. Thank you, Father. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now the Lord is calling for us to do this. Holy simply means to be set apart for a consecrated use. So when we want God to take our life, take this body, and use it, we're saying, Lord, I'm yielding to you. I want to be a vessel meet for your use. That's what that should be our heart's desire. So when we do this, we become a living sacrifice, right? Then he says, and be not conformed to this world. None of the world things should be in us. We should not conform, even in our mind, to worldly ways. God will help us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He will renew us, and the scripture talks about it. How does He renew us? When we get in the Bible, when we understand who God is, and we learn it, He will renew us to where we don't walk in discouragement when discouragement comes. Just because discouragement may come to my door, it doesn't mean that I have to partake of it. Just because the enemy sends a trial or a trial comes and it brings hopelessness, I don't have to be hopeless. Just because tragedy comes and it looks like I'm lost everything doesn't mean I have to be lost. Come on. The Bible tells me to be transformed, to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. Now, I believe this. I believe that every day of the world, God will renew you. He'll renew your body. He'll renew your youth. You know, I've walked as I've been here, and I asked my brother, Pastor Walker, to send me a regimen. And my brother is very healthy, and I've seen how he's really trimmed down and all this stuff. I said, well, send me a regimen. And he did. And he said, now you must exercise for two, I believe he said 2.5 hours, and the weight, no, 2.5 miles. So you need to walk 2.5 miles a day. And when I looked at that, I said, 2.5 miles a day. But I asked him.
Come on.
I asked him. And the Lord said that you asked him to help you. I said, well, I don't know that I walked 2.5 miles back and forth, but I did walk about 4 times didn't I? About three, back and forth. I did. Well, I did. I don't know. Anyway, I had to start. Do y'all hear what I mean? Because I have a goal. And I mean to reach it. And I reached out to somebody that's done it. Y'all better go with me now. I'm going to be before you long, as they say, but as long as I need to be, I'll be up here. Okay? So if you ask for help, like when we come here, if you ask for help and someone gives you help, what do you do with it? You got to use it. So I said, well, I know that I've not really been able to do the whole 2.5 because of the schedule. But I said, Lord, I'm going to start somewhere. So if I can walk back and forth, I walk back and forth. And I can tell you that I already see the difference. Now when I come back, I'll be better. Because I'm going to apply. I can really sing right now, really preach right now, because of what I see God doing. He wants us to be transformed. Changed. You can't run in the new in the old. Look at the oval shot. My God, today. Some of you, I even see weights and still things on some of you, and you're fighting and struggling in your mind. You say, I really do want to be free. I just don't know how to get out of the cage. I come to tell you, God will free you. There's nothing that He won't free you from. But you got to have a mind. It starts in your mind. Make up your mind you're going to change. Now that's what I began to do. And I knew when I reached out to my brother, I knew I better be serious. Because I see what he's done. I mean, you know, he gave 5 miles a day. I'm like, oh, okay. Every day of the world he does. Come on. So I think I can do 2.5. Huh? Yeah. I have a goal. I want to reach it. And I think if you have a goal in your spiritual life, you want to reach it. So this scripture is very important. Don't be conformed to this world. Some of you, and some of us, you know, we recognize things and strongholds in our lives. You conform to the world. You put stuff before your eyes. You shouldn't put it. You make excuses and all this stuff. Stop making excuses to stay where you are. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Now, Danica, I want to walk in that God approves of for my life. Spiritually, naturally, emotionally, and mentally. You want to be well-rounded, right? Your body belongs to who? It belongs to the Lord. It's a temple, but it belongs to God. Now, when you submit that body to God, He's going to tell you what to put in it, what not to put in it. Okay. He will tell you, right? He'll tell you what to put on, what to take off. Yeah, He will. Even down to your hair. He will tell you what to wear. Oh, bless the Lord. We can make up our own mind. Yes, you can. But if you want to look like Jesus, if you want the light of God to shine through your life, do it God's way. You know, somebody said this to me. I said, you know, there's a glow on your face. I said, where that? I don't see no glow. Where that? What? They said, no, you really. I said, well, you know what I've started doing? I started doing things God's way. Amen. Down to what I wear. Before I pack my bag, I ask God, what do I put in this suitcase? What shirt you want me to wear? What pants you want me to wear? Everything. I ask God about it. Because I'm representing Him. I'm not representing me now. Right? The only reason why I have this hair, y'all know this hair ain't mine, right? Y'all know this. And the only reason why I have it on is because of the process I'm going through. I don't like my hair being short. Can I talk to y'all? Huh? Can I talk?
Open up.
I'm going through a process. And this morning as I was getting ready, I said, can I wear my hair? He said, no, you can't wear it today. Go through the process. He said, Deb, he said, I'm taking care of you. He said, I'm healing you. Because I got attacked in the top of my head in 2013. It was witchcraft. And all my hair fell out on the top. I had a bald spot. And it grieved me because my hair was like my daughter's back here on my shoulders. And I had to cut my hair off. I didn't like that. And Carla, it wouldn't come back. I said, what's wrong? Is something wrong with me? Do I need to repent? And the Lord didn't give me an answer. Finally, he told me what happened. I know exactly what happened. He said, now I'm going to take you through this process. Just follow my lead. I said, okay. I said, well, Lord, when I go to Lake Hamilton, I can be myself. I ain't got to wear no wig. He said, you're going to wear it this time. Yeah. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. He said, you're going to wear it this time. He said, follow my lead. How many of you following God's lead? Hey, Mashando, how many are you? Are you really following God's leadership? Are you doing your own thing? You want to be delivered and free and really walk into what God has for you, you got to follow him. Now, I don't have all the answers as to why, you know, I give this testimony other than God's doing something in me.
Amen.
And I want him more than anything else. I want God. So this scripture means a lot to me because he will transform your life. You know, if you need to lose weight, you need to really scale down, and you know health-wise, you're not healthy, you can get healthy. You got to get disciplined. You got to be willing to change. You know, my regimen of food, the meat I eat, everything's changing. Because I don't belong to myself, I belong to him. And when you give your life over to God like that, you give him the reins. You say, Lord, I'm not gonna do this myself anymore. I want you to do it. Guess what? In spending time with God, he will teach you. And you will not miss your time with God because you will recognize he is the most important thing in your life. It doesn't matter married or single, God still needs to be number one in your life. Your husband will have that spot, or wife, whichever, children, everyone has a spot, right? But it won't take the place of God when you learn the importance of relationship with him.
That's right.
Yes, he's teaching me that, so I just want to share that with y'all, okay? Hallelujah. God's adding to our lives.
Amen.
He will add. He knows how to do it.
Yes.
So, you know, one of the most important lessons I had to learn is that I don't put a wig on or change my hair color or have nails to please people.
All right. Come on.
I used to do that. You know, you go to the mall and you buy all this stuff because you're going to be around Sally Sue. And Sally Sue going to have something to say about your shoes if you ain't got the right shoes on.
Come on.
Well, I don't care what Sally Sue says anymore.
Amen.
Because Sally Sue is not my boss. God is.
All right.
You understand? So if you learn to live that way, when he adds to your life, order will remain.
Amen.
And if you're single, can I help you? I'm going to go there anyway. If you're single, you get to know God and you get happy in your singleness. So when God brings somebody to you, you'll know how to act. Yes, you will. Because if you're pleasing your father, you'll please your mate. He will teach you. God, don't you know God know about family? Didn't he create marriage? Huh? Come on. You might as well shake loose and go with me. I told you I'm going to preach as long as I'm up here. So, you know, the Lord created marriage. And made it for a good thing, right? He has a good thing for you. But you got to be tailored for him or her. You got to fit. But if you don't let him make you, how you going to fit? Because you're going to be wanting to do your own thing. Or if it's a man, maybe the man's going to try to change the woman into what he wants her to be, vice versa. But when you know who God is, and God is your Lord, he will tailor you. And you'll treat that man right. You'll treat that woman right.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Okay, anyway. Let that sink in. If you're married, treat your husband right. Treat your wife right. Do what God says. Because when you get in God's presence and you ain't acting right, he gonna tell you about yourself. Come on, he will. So whoa, what are you coming to me for? Lord, I just need you. Or go get it right with boo-boo first. Then come back. I think that's what the Bible says. I can't treat my grandchildren any kind of way and even go to God. No, I have to go and repent to my grandchild if I did him wrong or her wrong. Then I go back. Okay, Lord, can we talk now? Okay? You got little things in your heart toward your husband, toward your son, toward your daughter. You got to get that stuff straight. God wants to visit with you. But when we have things up in front, how can he? He can't. You're blocked. Get unblocked. All right? Okay, I'm going now. I hear y'all shaking, moving with that. All right. Listen, true worship will usher in the presence of God. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14, it says, it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. You know, when we come together like that and we begin to praise God, nobody's trying to be seen. You know what I sing? I sing unto the Lord, Carla. It's not to be seen. And I don't want to get up here and do anything in his flesh. Speaking, it doesn't matter. We want one sound. We want God to get the glory. Okay? It says, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, they said, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. How many of you want to be in God's presence like that, where his glory so fills the house? We don't need to minister. Let God do it. Okay, I hear you. Listen, can't nobody minister to you like God can. And it's not that we don't want to hear the word of God, but we need his presence. We need God to come in and minister to us. And he will when we yield over to him. So when the glory comes, it will cause you to fall under the power of God. And all I mean by that is bowing low before him, prostrate before him, worshiping him. There is an order. Hallelujah. And I thank God for the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
All right? So Psalm 62:5-6 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I want to end with this word from the Lord, then we'll pray. The Lord says, I desire that you allow my word to burn in and go into the areas that I desire to enter. As you do this, you will begin to experience my presence, and you will get to know me in a way you've not known me before. I will reveal myself to those who will lay on the altar of sacrifice. My fire will go in to burn out the dross and burn in my presence and my aroma. For as my presence remains in you, I will be manifested in the earth. I am calling for a body of people who will not resist my working in their lives. I am looking for those who will sacrifice their all in order that I may, or that my will may be done in the earth. I am sending a fire throughout the land that will cause many lives to be changed as my people go forth in complete obedience to my word. I'm looking for those who will dare to believe my word and walk in it. This is a season where you will see many stand bold and proclaim my word and see signs, wonders, and miracles performed. Now, signs, wonders, and miracles follow the believer. It's not the other way around. When God is pleased with a thing, he will validate it. He does that through miracles. Look in the book of Acts. Look at all the things that God did through his people because they simply were yielded to him. So the Lord just says, as you lean and depend on me, my perfect will be done, says the Lord. Stand to your feet, if you will. Father, we thank you today. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you for everything that you've done this weekend. We thank you, Lord, for your purifying, for your healing, for your deliverance. We thank you, Father, that you come to make us whole. We thank you, Lord, that as we yield over to you, we simply say yes to your will, yes to your ways, that, Father God, you do in us great and mighty things. Lord, we just ask that you minister. Teach us, Lord, the importance of prayer and worship. And Father God, the fire of the Holy Ghost that comes to strengthen us. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your presence. And Lord, I ask that you bless and minister to everyone here. You have done a great work on this weekend, Lord, and we thank you for it. And I ask you, Father, to continue the work that you have begun in us. Help us to yield over to you every day. Yes. Help us to submit our will to you. Lord, when we submit to you, when we give over to you, we can resist the enemy and he will flee. Yes. So we thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given us from your word. We thank you, Father. And we ask God for a greater hunger and a thirst after you. And Lord, as your word declares over in Romans, as we have said, that if we beseech that you be, the word says, Paul said, that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. This is our reasonable service. So help us, O God, to give our bodies over to you. Not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. That we may know your acceptable and perfect will of God for our lives. So, Father, we thank you today. And I ask that you minister to everyone as we prepare to depart this place. Father, but not from your presence because you go with us. I pray, God, that you will keep your people. I pray, Father God, that their minds would be strengthened, their hearts would be strengthened, and you would keep them encouraged. We bind all distractions and discouragements and hindrances and things that would come to try to pull them off and get them off focus. I pray, God, that you would keep us, your people, in the love of God. And Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you for everything that you're doing. I thank you, Father, for the leaders of this camp. I thank you for Brother Merle. I thank you, Father, for his heart, that he has a heart to see lives changed by the power of God. I thank you, Father God, for the hope that you put in him, the strength that you're putting in him. And God, we ask that you continue to minister to him and, Father God, keep him strong in you. I thank you for Kevin and Patty. I ask you, Lord, to continue to minister into their lives. I thank you, Father, that you're keeping them strong and healthy. I thank you for Dan and Crystal. I ask you, Lord, to bless them as they poured out to us this weekend in serving us, Father. Father, you give back in to them, Lord. Strengthen them in the name of Jesus. I thank you for Linda and how she so sweetly waits on us. Father God, how she serves us at the book table. And Father, all that she does, Father God, to see that the work gets done, I ask you to give back into her and pour into her, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you for Jane. I thank you for the praise and worship that comes up out of her belly. I thank you, Father God, for how you use her, Father God, to minister in song. Father God, to lead us into your presence. And I ask you to bless her the more. I thank you for every speaker, Father. Thank you for Jerry. I ask that you touch Jerry. Be with her as she's traveling home. Strengthen her even the more. I thank you for Carla. Thank you for all that you're doing for this great woman of God. And continue to use her for your glory and honor. I thank you for Randy and Callie. And I ask you, Lord, to bless them the more. Father God, continue, God, the work that you've begun. Continue to use your blessed people in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, for all of your blessed people. Bless them the more, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of God burn in our lives. Father, we thank you for the hope that you put within us. Father, be with us as we prepare to leave this place. Father, keep me surrendered to you. I yield myself over to you, God. Whatever you want to do, Father, I yield to you. And Father, keep us in a repentant state. Give us a repentant heart that we will walk in total repentance, submitting to you and submitting to your will. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you today.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.